Imari Williams here, and you're listening to Geekcast Radio Network.
Ooh, Phineas and Ferb are behind this!
Ah! I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days.
Hello and welcome to episode 79 of Falca, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, DFG, and Mike. Joining me, as always, Pecan Court Michael. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
I really wish it would stop at this point. I've already Ferbed up two parts of this intro today.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah, let's hope. Today is the 79th day of summer, and this means it is the day that G-Sharon finally gets back to our cartoon review show talking about Phineas and Ferb for 2021. Are you ready to jump on the roller coaster of a ride that is the podcast organization without a cool acronym?
Yes.
That's good, because we now have 25 days left of this podcast. Oh boy.
Okay, Stace, I'm all set up. Nothing could get in between me and some good old-fashioned vitamin D.
What about busting your brothers?
Don't worry, I can do both. I've got a perfect view of them from where I'm sitting. Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm all up in their grill and they don't have a clue.
Hi, Candace.
Hey, don't you know it's rude to sneak up on someone who's trying to spy on you?
Sorry.
What are you guys doing?
Well, you know when we do something new every day?
No.
Oh, well, we try to build some big project or do something.
I'm aware of the concept, Phineas. I was just being sarcastic.
Really? Hey, that was pretty good. I totally fell for it. Ferb, I totally fell for
anyway.
It.
Anyway.
Oh, right. Anyway, Ferb and I decided that today we're going to let you pick what we're going to do today.
Let me get this straight. You are going to allow me to pick what you are going to build today?
That's about the size of it, Candace.
Size. That's it. It's got to be huge. No, wait. You built a skyscraper to the moon and... who knows where that went? No, if the summer's taught me anything, it's not the size of the project that's important. What matters is proximity. Mom's proximity. Think, Candace, think.
First up tonight, we have the Mom Attractor.
That's me.
It's not... That's not what that means.
Technically, it's correct, because my wife is a mom, and
yes,
she finds me attractive, kind of.
Yeah. Kind of. I don't think she would have had two kids with you if she didn't. Just saying.
Yeah, I got nothing.
When the boys ask Candace to decide what they should do for the day, she... slyly asks them to invent a device to attract their mom so that she can finally bust her brothers. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz has invented a baby cryonator designed to tarnish his goody-two-shoes brother Roger's image with the electorate.
That's the word. I thought you had a little trouble with that one.
Why do you think I took a pause there? Because, you know, like, I'm so tired of elections. I'm so tired of politics. I'm so tired of everything. Just put somebody in there that's going to do a good job for the people, not be an orange douche
nozzle.
It's been a while since we've used the term douche nozzle, folks. I'm
wrapped up like a douche nozzle. something in the night. Yeah.
So when I was recording, because I actually, for once, I was actually productive and I actually recorded the audio that will eventually accompany this podcast from the show. Nice. I recorded it before we did the recording for the podcast. Normally I haven't been doing that lately. I've been going back like, how can I delay this as long as possible? Like, I don't want to. So I'm going through and I'm recording the audio and I start playing the Mom Attractor episode. And
Karen, it's the Mom Attractor.
Yeah.
Mama Tractor.
With all her baby tractors, right?
Baby Tractor.
Yeah. So baby I can't
stop now. I'm sorry.
Well, stop it. This episode, and the baby starts crying, and Karen is like, "What the hell is that?" I said, "Oh, it's the Phineas and Ferb episode. I have to record the audio." She goes, "That's an episode of that show," and I'm like, "Yeah, it's one of my least favorites at this point." Because here's the difference, and here's the thing I've noticed now that I'm...
Come on, come on! Yes, Mom's coming! I just want to remember this moment. Relish it, revel in it, bask in the sunlight of pure, busting bliss! What is all that racket?
In a healthy relationship... And you and I are podcasting again. You guys, you and your wife have been married for, well, I wasn't in a healthy relationship a few years ago. So anyway,
I mean, I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying that, you know,
I'm trying to put a positive spin on this to show the differences between how you and your wife are and how me and Karen are, to the point of you guys have kids. There ain't no way in hell I am reproducing. There's just no way. No. The fact that I found out at 40 that I needed to have brain surgery because for 20 years I had excess liquid on my brain, yeah, I'm not passing that down to some kid who might get the cerebral palsy that I have. Yeah, no. So I have zero interest in baby anything. It was bad enough in the episode where Candace turns her brothers into babies, or Doof's innator turns them into babies. And she has to babysit them, and they go, you know, it's bad enough in that cartoon, but this one, oh, the crying, oh, it's like nails on a fucking chalkboard.
That's why all the moms mobilize. It's not because like the maternal instinct, it's because they want to strangle whatever makes that sound. Make it stop, kill it, fire.
Doofenshmirtz. There's so many moms in here.
I'd be like, hello, ladies. Bring out the disco ball. Here we go.
Okay, now this is really, really sad, because I know what you're talking about there. But when you said, hello, ladies, all I can think of is Angelina Jolie 21 years ago in Gone in 60 Seconds when they go to steal the cars. The first thing she says when they get into the warehouse.
Hello, ladies.
Yeah.
Hello, ladies.
Hello, ladies. Sees all the cars.
Yep.
Says, I want to steal them all.
That's right. That's what funny. Did you like about the Mama Tractor, if anything?
I like that they show what happened to the skyscraper to the moon.
That was good. I did like that. Absolutely. It's still up there.
They zoomed out several times so that you could see here's the Earth and here's the moon and here's this huge phallus pointing out into space. It's like, oh, that's what happened to the skyscraper to the moon. Yeah. It's funny. Candace basically says size doesn't matter.
Pretty much, yeah.
Good news for Jeremy.
Oh boy, Jeremy. Yeah.
What are you packing there, Jeremy? Well, size doesn't matter, so she told me herself. Oh man. There was a funny diaper joke that made me giggle.
Okay.
Monogram says, we need you to absorb the situation.
Yes.
Well, it's funny because he alluded to something about diapers and then he says absorb the situation. I laughed so hard because potty humor makes me giggle. I can't help it. go ahead and put on that fruit hat. Like, what the hell is the fruit hat for?
I was not sure where they were going with that because they've done things to... Well, they've done things to Perry before where they're like, it's okay, Agent P, go ahead and do it. And then he ends up slipping or falling or doing something that makes them laugh. And I was thought that's what this was.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, here's King Kong. Where's Godzilla?
Well, you know, travel by gorilla is the next big thing in green energy.
As long as Optimus Primal uses his surfboard, I'm fine.
The gorilla did not use the surfboard.
No, he didn't. That's what I'm saying. As long as Optimus Primal uses his surfboard, I'm fine.
Ay, caramba. Perry the Cha-Cha-Gram.
Yeah.
He's like, what is a Cha-Cha-Gram? And Perry's like, oh my God, he doesn't know who I am unless I put on the damn hat. And he literally rolls his eyes as he takes the hat off.
Yeah, he does.
Ay, caramba. Perry the Cha-Cha-Gram. I mean,
obviously Perry the Platypus, and I was... Use the door! Yeah, that was, Not good. Oh, well. There, that's better. I much prefer you trussed up in my happy jumpinator.
Yes?
I'm just looking at my notes. I'm trying to put a positive spin on this. Once Perry gets caught, the trap is a baby bouncer.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. It's clever. I mean, I wouldn't have thought of that being a trap. But, you know, once you put a baby in it, they really can't get out.
Mm-hmm. You know what's even funnier?
Mm.
The fact that Perry's junk was in that thing and then it ended up on Doof's face.
I did not notice that, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Roger Doofenshmirtz.
What happened to that giant crying baby?
Roger Doofenshmirtz came and it just stopped.
Babies love him.
Four more years!
Four more years!
Oh no, I left a pie in my classroom.
My watermelon!
Wow, this place has never looked neater than this.
So yeah, the baby bounce thing... I almost want to give the, even though I really am not a fan of this episode because of the crying baby, almost want to give it a 5 because the baby bounce trap, that had Perry's junk in it and it ends up in Doof's mouth.
Oh.
He uses it when Perry escapes the baby bounce trap. He slingshots it across the room, and it literally ends up in Doof's mouth. And the next thing you see is Perry, something is holding Doof up. Oh, no, the ape, the gorilla, the ape, King Kong, whoever. He's sure. holding Doof upside down, and he's slamming Doof's head on the floor. Well, as he's doing this, the baby bounce thing is basically spreading all over his head, all over his face. So Doof has platypus piss and shit all over his face and head.
Well, despite the fact he doesn't wear pants, I'm sure there was no piss or shit anywhere on the
screen. I don't know, man. Perry's vengeful. You know, he might have laid a platypus dookie just because.
That was a conscious decision. You peed right. on my couch.
Exactly.
That was a conscious decision. You peed all over my baby swing and then wrapped it around my head.
Yeah, that would be that one moment would be the only reason why I would give this episode anything higher than a 3.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a fun episode. I like the end. You have the crowd.
The mom's song was cool, but
I did like the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I honestly, I was like, this is must be a guest appearance by Lizzie Hale. It's got a very, like...
Hailstorm
vibe to it, yeah.
We're leaving our work, we're closing our laptops and responding to the cry. Gotta make sure the baby's fed and more importantly they're dry. We're professional nose wipers and know every brand of diaper, but you have to pay the piper. Don't you ever call us gripers. Yeah, 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 yeah. We are the moms and we can't resist the calling. We are the moms when we hear a baby bawling. We are the moms and everything you heard is all quite true. Cause moms will always come through. Moms will always come through.
Trust Sue's baby.
What am I doing?
I have to pick up Will from soccer.
Yeah, I don't listen to much Hailstorms, but I know who she is and I know who the band is.
Yeah, I like that. Ferb's line, women are a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. He's not wrong.
Nope. It only lists the writers. It does not list who sings it. Come on, Phineas and Ferb Wiki, what's going on here?
I know, you've let me down for the last time.
Good thing there's an album clip. Oh, rocking and rolling with Phineas and Ferb. Here we go. Hang on.
You have failed me for the last time.
Uh-huh. What's the name of this song?
Right. Moms.
Oh, yeah. Damn it. Where is it?
It's called No Ma'am.
I wish it was called No Ma'am. Seriously, how is this not on here? Oh, We Are the Moms. There we go.
There we go.
Jen Hirsch. It's performed by Jen Hirsch. Who is Jen Hirsch? 56. Oh. Singer in Phineas and Ferb. She provided the voice of the moms for the song We Are the Moms episode, Mama Tractor. She also sings... Okay. Remember the Double Dutch song? The Double Dutch Machine Doof tried to, the really annoying thing where they had to jump rope and everything else.
No.
You'd remember it if I played it. But anyway.
You might, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not playing it now. But she was the voice in that song. So there's that.
Well, anyway. She was good. I like that one. So I often say there's not nearly enough Transformers in Phineas and Ferb, but the... The mom attractor becomes self-aware and turns into a giant mom.
Yeah, it does.
That's at least half a point.
That's, yeah. Yep.
I do like Transformers. Oh, you know what? There was a... I want to say... Oh, it's not a C story. It's basically just Candace talking to her dad, and her dad says... I think I'd like to make rhubarb creme brulee. and he does. And at the end, they get to have rhubarb creme brulee. I have no idea what rhubarb creme brulee would taste like. My guess is not very good.
I don't know. I've never even heard of it. And really, honestly, who in the Sam hell wants to eat anything rhubarb?
You know, rhubarb as a pie isn't terrible.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like strawberry, except more vegetable-y.
I guess.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I really like creme brulee, like, a lot. And I'm just not sure if I'd like a fruity-tasting vegetable in my creme brulee.
So no bananas then, huh?
Ew, no.
Well, is it a fruit? Is it a vegetable?
That might be why I don't eat bananas.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. Not a fan.
A fan, huh? So we had back in episode 72, back on day 72 of this podcast, we were talking about the Too Young line and what constitutes the Too Young line. And our good old buddy Joe from the Mysteries of Milo blog over there on Tumblr, he commented on this episode and says that, so about the Too Young line, you may remember that it has two parts. The first part is, aren't you a little young to be? And the second part is, yes, I am. The wiki counts any quote in either of these formats as the Too Young line. So the reason why I'm bringing this up now is the Too Young line in this episode, there are two of them. Candace, that's got to be one of the coolest things you've ever built. Yes, it is. And then Candace later, Mom, Phineas and Ferb made a mama tractor and it's in the backyard, see? Yes, there is a mama tractor in the backyard. And obviously Linda is talking about Lawrence.
Aww.
So since it follows the same logic of the aren't you or isn't this or whatever, and then yes, so it... I get it. Thank you so much for letting us know, Joe, and thank you for listening, as always.
I guess if you define it as a yes, yes line and not a too young line, then it makes sense.
I guess I don't know.
Sure.
No clue. Let's see. Was there a specific? No, there's not. Oh, I was trying to think if there was a specific voice, an additional voice actor in this, like someone besides the main cast, like a special guest, and there is not. However, did you hear the song that Lawrence was humming while he was making his rhubarb?
I'm going to go with no.
Okay, well, basically, I'll put it in probably right here. That is the... When I referenced the Quirky Worky song, that's what it is.
Okay.
It's that overarching jingle that they use every time they're working on something. So, because I noticed it, I'm like... How is he humming that? Well, how does he know that? But then again, Lawrence is in on almost everything at this point. So. Apparently, Kelly Hu has a new show coming up.
Really?
I heard something or saw something.
What? Okay.
Well,
as
you're typing.
I'm going to Google it now. She was just in the show, and I told you about it. Oh my gosh! Wow. So now that I Google it, here's a current picture of her, and she Kelly Hu to star in Ninth House feature breast cancer bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so gray. in that show that I just saw, where she was in Hawaii, that she had like a gray streak, and I'm right. Like. I don't think that's a real gray streak. I think they added it to make it look beautiful. And now that I see her, it's like, no, she's got a lot of gray hair. She's older than I thought.
Well, we already went through her age last episode or an episode before that. I said she's in her 50s, so.
Yeah, born in 68, so she's got, so she's 53, 52?
Yeah, 50. Yeah, somewhere around there.
She's timeless. Timeless
that's right.
Beauty.
Yes.
And what I'm trying to remember, what is she just, what was she just in? She was in this thing called, it's going to kill me unless I remember now. Anyway.
All right, well, while you're forgetting that, what is your rating for the Mom Attractor?
You know, I gave this one a 3. Because it was a fun episode. I liked it. It wasn't fantastic. It wasn't bad. It was just, you know, an episode.
That's right. It's an episode. It doesn't do much.
It doesn't do much. It's just not.
Yeah, it didn't do much. I am going to give it a 2.5. I'm just not a fan of the whole baby thing. Like, just no. No.
No? Oh, the giant baby thing?
Yeah, the cry. It's like, as soon as I started playing the episode, as soon as the pacifier came out of its mouth and it started crying.
Oh, that horrible noise, yes.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I'd rather hear Baljeet screaming in anguish like he used to. What is that noise for? But out of all the many things, it's kind of weird we ended up at Baljeet's house. It was, Summer Rocks. It was, I'm trying to hold an A chord. All right, we're gonna move on, and it's
wait. Before we move on,
yes,
Finding Ohana. It's the spiritual Hawaiian successor to Goonies,
Lilo and Stitch.
No, well, you would think, because it's like very similar in it's still in Hawaii, but they brought the guy who played Data in Goonies. They got him out of Mothballs and put him in it. And there's one guy that looks like The Rock's little brother. But it's all about these kids who find pirate treasure.
All right.
Kind of like the Goonies.
I guess.
Yeah. And now that I'm looking at Kelly Hu's IMDb page, she was in The Arrow, China White.
Yep.
I did not know that was her. That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, she played Jade in Young Justice. She was in The Orville, which I never watched. Just a lot of voice work. She was Karai in that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series that I liked.
In the 2012 series, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. She was great in that.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we are going to move on, and since I already mentioned Baljeet, we're going to get a Baljeetle episode after this, and sadly, they don't sing.
I've got a feeling that today is the day. Even as we speak, my brothers are planning something dangerous, disguised as playing cards.
Well, I'm out.
Me too. Losers.
Sorry I am late.
That's okay. Deal them in, Ferb.
Who came up with cards anyway?
They were invented by ancient Babylonian traders and merchants.
Actually, the Babylonians had been defunct as a distinct culture for a millennium prior to the introduction of playing cards in India.
That is right! 3 months of summer vacation and I am losing my edge!
Has it only been 3 months? Because I've been adding up all the things we built this summer, and we're way over 150.
Oh, my brain is atrophied. It needs exercise.
As I said at the end of the last episode, it is time for a singingless Baljeetles episode as we explore Baljeet's brain in Cranius Maximus. When Baljeet becomes concerned that he is losing his mental edge, his friends invent a cerebral stimulatory hat or brain booster to help him. But when the hat exceeds expectations and makes Baljeet exponentially smarter and evil, he suddenly views everyone else as beneath him and becomes a threat to civilization by taking Earth's atmosphere and bringing it to the moon. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz plans to use his key findinator to collect all the keys in Danville in hopes that it will lead to the key to the city. Okay, first of all...
Wow! Look at him go.
He's like a new man.
He still gets de-pantsed one leg at a time.
This is great! With my simulated brain, I am dreaming up all sorts of super smart projects.
Great!
Picked out a favorite?
I have! You see, the greatest impediment to making astronomical observations is our atmosphere. It is like looking through pea soup. So to make our terrestrial telescopes more effective, I'm going to take all of the Earth's atmosphere and put it on the moon!
Sounds suffocating.
I will disintegrate that bridge when I come to it.
But, Baljeet, if the atmosphere is gone...
And it is so simple! I can use an ion coupling device to attract each atmospheric molecule to the second greatest gravity source, which, in this case, is the moon. And after the initial impact...
He is so hardcore!
...up into lunar orbit, blue skies on the moon! Imagine that!
Hey, Baljeet, can I talk to you for a second?
Of course! I will just use small words!
Doof is not the villain in this episode. Baljeet is the fucking villain in this episode. Exactly. Are you kidding me? A key findinator and yet a kid who goes to science camp for the summer is the... Oh, my God.
No, Baljeet decides to murder the world.
Yeah.
This has got to be just the most dark and twisted plot line ever. I mean, this is like Bond villain plot line. You know? It's like... I will transfer the atmosphere of the Earth to the moon unless you give me $1 billion.
$1 billion, 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, evil is more evil than Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been saying for a long time that Doof really isn't evil. I mean, he comes up with these cool ideas and kind of twists them a little bit so that they might be mischievous at best. I have stolen every key in the tri-state area. It's like, that's not evil. That's like, oh man, you made me lose my keys momentarily until they come back directly into my hand.
Exactly.
What was that word? Cerebral something hat?
Cerebral. Fuck, I should remember this. I should know.
You read it. I'm looking for it. It's, the stimulatory hat.
Yeah, the cerebral stimulatory hat.
Well, it's funny because he says something about cerebral stimulatory haberdashery.
Mm-hmm.
Which made me giggle because you don't see the word haberdashery very often.
Not in a kid's cartoon, you don't.
Yeah.
Then again, this probably isn't for kids.
I have a word-a-day calendar. So.
Yeah, you don't know everything about me, Perry the Platypus.
know everything there is to know about me.
That's right.
Oh, man, that's funny. That was a Narnia reference here.
Was there?
Have you read the books?
No.
Okay. Well, basically, you open a wardrobe, you go through, and there's a fantasy land. It's very cold.
Oh.
And that's what happened in this episode.
I thought that was a Hobbit thing. I was just waiting for them to get, you know, giant hairy feet.
No. Just leftover Christmas trees.
Mm.
Ah, it's funny.
Yeah, no.
I, too, am a yokel of dubious qualifications.
Aren't we all?
Aren't we all? Exactly. I got this imposter syndrome going on, but then I remember I am of dubious qualifications. Yeah. I'm not certified in anything, so, you know, you get what you pay for.
Apparently it pays to show up on time. Well, I show up early, so when can I get paid? Thanks a lot, Ferb.
Well, if Fauci had shown up on time, he would have known.
Yeah, same thing with Candace. I got to get an alarm clock.
Yeah. Well, apparently if you show up early, you get to make, I don't know. What was that?
Whatever like, the hell that
rough
was.
Sack duplicates of yourself strapped to rockets. Because that's what one does early in the morning.
Yeah, apparently. That's what Phineas and Ferb do early in the morning.
I need to get a potato sack and fashion it into a crude likeness of myself. And then launch it.
Yes. Launch it where?
I said launch, not lunch.
Yeah, I don't want lunch. I just had dessert. Where are we launching this thing to?
Just around the giant pair of pants. I thought it was weird that the tower that he made looks like pants.
I knew that was
the top of it.
I knew that was going to pay off at some point because at the very end of the episode, obviously, Buford ends up with the helmet, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be good.
Buford ends up with the helmet, and I'm like, oh, good. Now he's got enough brains to blow his nose.
There's
a bad joke there pertaining to, if brains were dynamite, that's it. Yeah.
There you go.
Range for dynamite, you wouldn't have enough to blow your nose. But now he does.
And now he does.
And he uses it to build the world's biggest wedgie machine. The rocket-powered wedgie fist.
Yep.
I was like, this is not going to end well.
No, it kind of did. It made everything disappear. Nobody got hurt, so there's that.
Yeah, I guess. It's odd, though, that Baljeet would make this huge tower with a pair of underwear built into it. It does seem strange.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, was that? I assume it's just so they can get to the joke of Buford making the wedgie hand more so than anything else. I don't think Baljeet as a character, even though he was super smart, did it on purpose. Because why would you want to sit in a pair of your own pants, but as a giant earth-destroying machine? People can't see this, but I'm rolling my eyes so hard right now at Belgium.
Where are you?
Yes. Okay. Rolled my eyes so hard they fell into the back of my head. Lord. Anything else for Cranius Maximus? Because this episode is just blah.
Yeah, it's kind of blah. I mean, I think the one part that I really thought was funny was when Baljeet first puts it on, and he's kind of like, his eyes are doing weird things.
Yeah,
that's the best way I can explain it.
He's on meth.
He's on meth. What do you do for fun?
Meth.
His eyes are like, I'm making shaking. Gestures with my hands.
Yeah.
In front of my eyeballs. So that you can see what was happening with it. You can see it, right? But, that was funny.
They can hear you looking at it.
So I would give this one a 3 because, It wasn't. I don't know. I actually don't have a reason. Normally, I have a good reason. This time, not so much. What do you think?
Two.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, rough day for you. He wants to do something so stupid that it's going to destroy the world. Like, okay, we talked about, I think it was episode 76 or whenever we talked about the bully bromance breakup where you're like, yeah. Oh, but it's about bullying. It's about the relationship. Like, the relationship between Buford and Baljeet as bully and nerd, even yeah. though that's, you know, somewhat problematic, at least they showed it in a light where at the end of it, they're like, oh, I now respect, you know, how that wedgie felt for you as a nerd, as a bully. And, but, you know, but this is like, this kid wants to destroy the world just because he thinks it's a good idea for the moon to have an atmosphere and to steal it from our planet. Like, hell no.
No, no. What he wants to do is he wants to get rid of the atmosphere around the Earth so right. that he can have a clear view of the stars.
Yeah. He's going to be dead once the atmosphere is gone.
But it's going to murder the entire planet. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like
it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you scientists, you do something because you can before thinking if you should.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, shades of Ian Malcolm. He's just like, what a cool idea. I think I'm going to go through with this. You realize it's going to murder the planet, right? Oh, yeah, we'll all die. Oh, yes, we should definitely do this anyway. Like, what are you thinking there?
I mean, at least if people are going to do anything to the Earth, at least, you know, drilling, you know, 800 feet to save it is much better than getting rid of its atmosphere. It's an Armageddon. It's an Armageddon reference.
Yeah, I was going to say Armageddon. All right. Sure.
Hey, man, you know what? I need some bourbon with this Diet Coke at this point after watching these two episodes. Phineas and Ferb makes me want to drink. No, not really, but seriously.
I thought it was from dealing with me.
You know, oh, no. I've been dealing with you for over 11 years at this point. You, I can handle. These last two episodes for this podcast episode, no.
No. Well, at least the next one's better, so.
Yes, it is. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to collect my wits, if I have any wits left.
They're on the floor. They rolled under the
I know you. Didn't I see you flying off my dad's roof?
You're going to have to be more specific. I fly off so many roofs.
Really?
Nah, just the one. Of course I remember you. You're Vanessa Doofenshmirtz.
In your Monty monogram.
That's right.
Should we even be seen in the same room together? I mean, you know, our dads being sworn enemies and all.
What can I get for you two?
Cappuccino with chocolate powder on top and a ginger scone, please.
And two straws, no doubt. Okay, putting aside the fact that our fathers are sworn enemies, want to have those cappuccinos together?
Sure, sounds cool.
Morning, Agent P. I guess we're getting a little bit of a late start. Our sources say that Doofenshmirtz is on his way to Steam Noir, the hippest coffee house in town. We need you to get there before he arrives. And stop him from doing anything, you know, nefarious. I've got a word-a-day calendar.
See, Ferb? What is this?
We're putting on a magic show. Do you want to be in it?
I'm calling Mom right now.
Yeah, Mom, she can be in it too.
A shadow fall, perfect.
Hey!
Watch this trick.
All right, up next, the single greatest episode of Season 3, next to Delivery of Destiny, is Sipping with the Enemy. It gets a 5. We're moving on.
wait, we gotta talk about why it gets a 5, because it's
Vanessa. Vanessa,
yeah, she doesn't sing though, so I mean there's gotta be another reason.
Hey, it's okay she doesn't sing, because you know, you got the single greatest voice actor of all time in Seth Green as Monty Monogram.
Wait, what?
He got the single greatest voice actor of all time, Seth Green, as Monty Monogram.
Wow, that's just like your opinion, man.
No, I'm trying to say it to bait you, and you're not taking the bait, man.
Oh, well, no.
Last time I mentioned Seth Green,
that's a flat-out dirty lie.
Well,
because I know you're not like stepping on Frank Welker's toes there.
Because, oh, no.
Frank Welker will take Seth Green behind the woodshed and stop him. Anyway.
Anyway.
Oh, this was a good episode, though. I really liked this episode. I felt like the Vanessa-Seth Green romance was a little forced.
I didn't. I found everything else in this episode was forced. Like, the best part about it was them in the coffee shop. Them in the coffee shop and Doof. Those were the two best things about this episode. The stuff with the kids, I could care less. I don't even remember what the hell happened with Phineas and Ferb. And I haven't even read the damn description yet.
I was going to say they were in the episode? They were because they had a
mind flip. Mind
flip. Yeah. They were doing this. They had costumes.
Yeah.
They were doing a magic show and they had costumes. And I was trying to think, is this a Chris Angel thing? Is this a, what are they doing?
I don't know. And honestly, I don't care.
It looked cool. It looked like Clockwork Orange. You know, and I'm like, well, this is interesting. Where did this come from? I'm not really into magicians and that type of thing, but yeah.
Okay, well.
You're looking it up.
Yeah, well, you should know this, Mr. Rocky Horror.
No, don't say it. Yeah.
Illusions, okay. The Rocky Horror Picture Show. When Baljeet says mind flip, it is taken from part of a lyric from the song Time Warp, which was written by Richard O'Brien, Lawrence's voice actor. The exact line for the lyric in question is with a bit of a mind flip. So,
time trip. Yeah. I would not have placed that there, but sure. I thought they were going for like mind blown. Your mind's blown.
They are. And you're right. Chris Angel, mind freak, but
yeah.
But I mean, again, the all empowering Phineas and Ferb wiki, you can't question. Can't question the illusions, man.
I'm questioning the illusion. But yeah, you're right. I think not just the coffee house scene, but the fact that Agent P is like the ultimate wingman.
Yes, he is.
He's going through these superhuman efforts to hide Vanessa from Doofenshmirtz as he, he goes about his business, in this coffee shop trying to steal everybody's coolness. But I mean, he's just like wearing himself out completely trying to hide Vanessa from him.
The fact that the Starbucks waiter is smarter than Doof really says something about Doof. there are 10 quarter cups in it. There are 6 quarter cups in 10 gallons, man.
640.
Yeah, 640 quarter cups in 10 gallons, man. I'm like, wow, Doof is so not evil enough to know the math.
He's like, it's two of these and a pint and something. Just give me 999.
Yeah. I need 10 gallons or 10, whatever he says, gallons of espresso. Yeah, you can have that, but you only have it in this little cup.
This little cup.
All I can have it is it's espresso, man. I'm like, oh my. This is so Seattle. This is so Starbucks. This is so coffee people, upper crust, pinky in the air. Oh,
It's like, have you ever had more than one espresso? You bleed from the eyes. it's impressive. I used to drink the cold press espresso in college, and it's really good, but it's strong. It'll kick you in the face. Good times.
Kick you in the face college days. There you go.
Kick you in the face college days. Vanessa's line. Your dad's spy network is a petting zoo with hats. I laughed so hard. I literally hit the floor.
I love that image with them standing there and Perry is literally right there.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
You do know that what he calls a spy network is actually just a petting zoo with hats.
It's funny that it's true though. It's funny that Vanessa recognizes Perry. Though he's disguised, she sees him right off the bat and she's just
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, she's totally cool with him. She, mm-hmm. you know, you got to help me out here, man. And he's like, okay, fine. I'll do it for you. You know? It's like they have a relationship. It is not like not romantic, but it's like a, it's kind of like the nice uncle type relationship.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, you're the cool uncle. You got to help me out here. And, you know, Perry's like, I am the cool uncle. I will help you.
Yes.
Mind flip.
Oh, God. Every time Baljeet said that, I just wanted to shoot myself, honestly. Well, I am serious. I like, if this episode was just the show,
yeah,
just the coffee shop stuff, it would be so much better. But because there's the magic show in there, it's like, oh God, take that shit out of there.
Yeah, it was kind of forgettable. I mean, like I said, I like the magic show costumes. I thought that was funny. Yeah. I like the you know, I think I should show you who I really am, and like ripping your face off. It's like, I'm Baljeet. Mind flip.
Yeah, that was a little much, Baljeet.
It was a little much, yeah. Especially if well, wait a minute. Is it? Hold on. Furiously consulting notes. Oh, no, that happens later. Never mind. I was about to say, especially when they tore off their costume and it turns out that they're actually Buford and Baljeet. But that happens next time.
That's next episode. That's the final episode today. Yeah. Yeah, no, Sipping with the Enemy, really dig it. Think it's great. Like I said at the beginning of this, you know, it's easily tied for my number one favorite episode of season 3 at this point.
Yeah.
Especially going through the rest of season 3 and what we have left to cover, I'm like, yeah, this is kind of peaked for me at this point. Like,
this is as good as it gets.
Yeah, pretty much. This is, you know, Monty is Jack Nicholson, and she's whoever, Helen Hunt. Wow, there we go. There's as good Jack as it gets.
Nicholson and Helen Hunt.
Yeah, as good as it gets.
Oh, from the movie, As Good as It Gets. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Why is it every time I have to explain my jokes to you?
It's not funny if you have to explain it.
Yeah. Oh, shit. It would be fine if you just get it.
It took me a second. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. What are you going to rate Sipping with the Enemy?
You're going to give it a 5, aren't you?
Even though I don't want to because of the simple fact that the magic show shit was just not my thing.
Yeah.
I still have to give it a 5 because of Monty and Vanessa and Perry.
Yeah, I'd give it a 5. I mean, not just because everything Vanessa's in gets a 5 automatically, but you know, it was well written. I enjoyed it. I had to like actually go back and listen to it again to kind of. It's almost like a eavesdropping on their conversation.
Yeah,
the whole time. I mean, as long as you're in the coffee shop, they're talking. They're having a good time. And for a goodly part of it, you can hear this.
Right.
And it's like, what is he saying? And you got to stop and listen, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. I mean, they were really hitting it off. And I did not expect, you know, midway through for him to put his foot completely in his mouth and piss her off. Not expect that.
And I think, and I could be wrong because I'm not looking at the wiki, but I think the next time we see them is the Scarlet Pumpernel, which is the next Halloween episode.
Oh.
I think. Right. I am not absolutely 100% sure of that.
Okay. It's like in the Spear of Destiny.
Spear of Destiny? What?
That's...
Spear of Destiny. I don't need a Spear of Destiny. Thank you very much. Yeah, no.
It's the Scarlet Pimpernel. So, yeah, good times.
Good times, good times, as always. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with the final cartoon of the episode after this.
Ben.
Abigail.
Abigail.
What's she doing here?
What are you doing here?
Your dad called me. Said your next clue was here.
But she's really there?
Look, Ben, Drop her. Loser.
I want to help.
Oh, that's very nice, but it's kind of a bad time right now.
A bad time right now?
It's a bad time.
Okay, I just flew all the way to London to offer my help.
And
what, now you decided you just, you don't need it?
You're the one who's making a scene right now.
I'm not making a scene right now.
No, we want to make a scene.
Well, then fine! That's what you want, then let's have it out right now!
Ah, so subtle.
Well, let me guess! It's the wrong time! It's the wrong place! I'm wrong again! Wrong about us! Wrong about Thomas Gates! Wrong that you'd like the Queen Anne chair!
You're wrong to assume I'd like the chair!
You see, everybody, listen to this. This is more interesting than that. She thinks that even when I'm right, I'm wrong! Isn't that right, Abigail? Just because I answer a question quickly doesn't make it wrong.
Not if the right answer is something we need to figure out together as a couple. That's what couples do.
Sure. And you and your missus take it outside.
Oh, now look what you've done. You brought the little bobbies down on us.
You take the missus outside. I'm staying right here.
Ben! Whee!
Good afternoon, sir.
Hello.
Been drinking, have we?
Just a nip. Just pop down to the pub for a pint. Bit of all right. Going to arrest the man for that. Going to detain a blighter for enjoying his whiskey.
It's all right, that's enough, sir.
Beggars and mash.
Sir?
Bubbles and squeak.
What?
Smoky or pie.
Sir?
Haggis! That's it! Dismount the banister. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Here they are, standing in a row. Small ones, come big on. Ones, some as big as your head!
That was brilliant.
Well, here we are, gang. The semi-annual Tri-State Area Antique Show and Swap Meet. Here you can find anything under the sun. Literally, because it's held outdoors.
Anything, Dad?
Well, actually, there is one thing that you probably won't be able to find here. An 1807 Dorcom and Wesley boot scraper. Only one of them was ever made, and it's been lost to the mists of time. Oh, if only I could find that, I'd be the envy of the entire antiquing community. Especially Worthington Dubois, my antiquing nemesis.
You have an antiquing nemesis?
You don't know everything about me.
Ferb, I know what we're going to do today.
Meanwhile, at the Ben Gates estate...
What?
Nicolas Cage, National Treasure.
Oh. Yeah, that was...
The Tri-State Treasure Boot of Secrets. I'm like... Seriously, can you really not get in? Like, and I know part of it is at the end of it's like, hey, you know, you better choose wisely or else, you know, it's very Last Crusade-ish of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah. So, all right.
He chose poorly.
Finally up tonight. Wow, I was going to say Phineas and Ferb. Tri-State Treasure Boot of Secrets, please, somebody, hold back Nicolas Cage. Phineas and Ferb are helping their father unearth a missing piece of Danville history when they run into his lifelong nemesis, Worthington Dubois, at a flea market, of all places. They actually call it a swap meet, but meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz makes himself younger to win a children's film festival, and Candace uses the swap meet to try and get an extremely rare Ducky Momo item. This one kind of fires on all cylinders for me, with the exception of the whole... This was a fourth wall video for them, and they won the festival, essentially stopping Doofenshmirtz without actually stopping Doofenshmirtz, because, you know, whatever.
Spoilers.
What? What is spoil? You know what? You and your spoilers, man. I swear to God, this episode aired Disney Channel US June 22nd, 2012. This episode is almost 10 years old at this point. Spoilers my ass.
Just getting too far ahead of yourself. We got like a whole episode to tell you. At least 15 minutes of episode to talk about before we get to the end.
Mm-hmm. But hello, National Treasure reference. You know, I mean, come on. Anyway, what did...
Was it National Treasure or the Da Vinci Code?
It was...
I was getting a very Da Vinci Code vibe out of this as they solved puzzles to get down into the dungeon.
The first illusion is National Treasure, Book of Secrets. The second illusion is Indiana Jones, Last Crusade. And then the third illusion is Raiders of the Lost Ark, The Avengers, Jurassic Park, Rambo, Nick Fury, Holy Grail, Shepherd Fairey's Hope, Yeah, there's no whatever you just mentioned. It's not in here at all.
No Da Vinci Code.
Come on, no man. Da Vinci Code. Nope. It's all Nick Cage and Harrison Ford in the National Treasure of the Last Crusade.
Well, Harrison Ford is a national treasure. Can't dispute that.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your podcasting nemesis?
At this point, somebody from Canada.
You don't know me. You don't know everything about me. You have an antiquing nemesis? You don't know everything about me.
Yep.
I like the song about things you can find at the swap meet.
Things you find at the swap meet. Yep.
You ever been to a swap meet?
I've been to a lot of flea markets and a lot of garage sales. And
yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not paying $20,000 for a garage because that garage is not for sale.
I'll buy that for
I'll give dollar. You 27 cents for it.
That's right. Tree-fitty. There's a place out by me. It's over the border. It's in Alsip, Illinois. And it's called Swap-A-Rama.
Okay.
There's a huge sign that says Swap-A-Rama. And it's like a huge tent sale. And there's a building, but actually outside on the parking lot, there's a huge tent. And it's interesting if you've never been to one of these. It's like, you know, you've got the place that sells the 1,000 thread count Egyptian cotton sheets. And, you know, you got the place that sells handmade, you know, soaps and candles. It's just, and everything in between. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've been to several like it, but I haven't actually been to an actual swap meet.
Oh, well, yeah.
It, you know, but honestly, anything outdoors, it's swap meet to me.
Oh, I don't know. It just looked like a huge garage sale.
Yep, pretty much.
We got chrome-plated carburetors, calibrators, regulators, tube socks, cuckoo clocks, multicolored alligators, taxidermy, jackalope, presidential bar of soap. You can find it all at the swap meet. You can take it away if you can fit it in your ride. You gotta lower the seat and then you give it a slide. Then you gotta know when you head to the show. If you add to your stash, you gotta do it with cash. Purple pad, a toilet seat, dolphin made of concrete, hubcaps, mud flap, food that isn't safe to eat, macrame, dust mop, curtain made of pop tops. You can find it all at the swap meet. You can find it all at the swap meet.
Oh, I like how Candace has to swap things.
Yeah, that was good.
Like consecutively swap things, you know, till she finally gets to the end of the list and he's like, a dollar? She's like, I'll buy that for a dollar.
$1, yeah. And then she goes back and we see all the swaps and all the trades and whatever else, and his innator hits the baby rattle. It's brand new, no sale. Oh, the nuts.
Patina is gone. It's like,
honestly, love it or something. Honestly, I'd rather, you know, that guy looked kind of young. Like, yeah. You can wait 50 years for it to re-patina itself.
There you go. And honestly, it's probably worth more clean. So
probably, you'd think. I mean, it is silver.
Yeah. Was it silver?
I thought it was.
Get a patina?
A silver thinking, like, baby rattle?
Copper or something.
No, it was silver.
Copper gets a nice patina on it as it ages. Silver just dulls. Not the same. Bunch of stuff on it. But again, de-aginator, right? Firing from the sky, you know, uh-huh. Turning things young again. This is like not evil. Could potentially change the world. You know, it's like if we could harness this and regulate it in such a way where everybody got shot with it every 25 years, you know, there'd be no death. We've conquered mortality.
Yeah.
No. You know, it's just, it's like, it's my birthday. Okay, well, you on your birthday, you get shot with the deaginator for 1 year, you know, and then you lose another year. Then you're never old. Mm-hmm. You can pick the age you want to be at.
Yep. And it was a silver baby rattle.
Oh, silver, huh? Okay.
Cool. So, I mean, like you said, it would be worth more if it was, you know, brand new. Not all dirty with patina on it.
It's all dirty. It's dirty now. Dirty. How dare you? You've dirtied my baby rattle.
Yes, and apparently the other, the D plot in this episode at this point is he's Major Monogram.
Oh, that was so dumb. For real. Probably could have pulled that out.
Hey, where's Perry?
Burrito Man number 45. That's classic ink, brother.
Morning, Agent P. Here's the thing. I don't know what Dupa is up to. I've been busy giving each of my friends personalized ringtones. I have one for you. Perry! And one for Carl. No! I want to send out a ringtone for when I call my friends, but I don't have a theme song. Anyway, go stop the doing smarts.
But I mean, I like the fact that he's saying, you know, oh, we have the Carl song, we have the Perry song, we have the this song or that song, and but he doesn't have a song. Yeah, and again, it's, you know, back in, God, 2012, I think.
Yeah.
And we were all assigned, yeah, June of 2012, we were all assigning ringtones to our friends and sending out the ringtone that they should assign to us and whatever. You know.
Really? So that was, I guess, people did.
I don't know.
I don't think I've ever done that, but okay.
Yeah.
I like the extinct order of the boot scrapers.
I prefer the sandal scrapers. They're much higher class.
There has been an even older, more rare society underneath, exactly, the boot scrapers.
Yes.
I thought that was weird, sandal scrapers.
Ferb, pay the man.
Just like an old iron penny bank. Stand back, boys.
Wow.
Yes, the boot scrapers were renowned for their elaborate spiral staircases. If that Dorcom and Wesley boot scraper still exists, we'll find it down here.
Not if I, Worthington Dubois, have anything to say about it.
Oh, this seems to be unplugged.
It's funny. I never even knew this was a thing, but apparently you can still find them in... I want to say like the colonies, right? In like New England, right? In the New England states where, you know, where people would ride horses, or let's say before there were sidewalks, you know, everywhere you walked, mm-hmm. you'd get mud on your boots. So all the houses would have these boot scrapers outside the door so that you could scrape the mud off your boots before you went inside. And they've got them like permanently mounted onto the concrete or in the stonework of people's houses. And it's like, what's that weird pointy thing sticking out of the house? So it's like, oh, that's a boot scraper. Like, oh, that's interesting. I mean, you can tell the house is over 100 years old if there's a boot scraper on it.
Hmm. Very cool.
Not a lot of that here in the Midwest, but.
No.
You know. Older homes. Older buildings over that way toward the East Coast, right? They've got it.
Holy crap.
What?
Rob Morrow and Alan Tudyk were two of the salesman voices.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. I mean, obviously the most shining example of a guest star in this episode is, you know, Tim Curry as Worthington Dubois. Curry. I mean,
Tim Curry's like, Worthington Dubois. And I'm like, that's Tim Curry. Oh, yep. My God.
Yep. Yeah. Once you go Cardinal Richelieu, you don't go back.
Cardinal Richelieu.
Tim Curry played Cardinal Richelieu in 1993's Disney's The Three Musketeers with Charlie Sheen as Aramis and Oliver Platt as Porthos and Kiefer Sutherland as Athos.
Oh, that's funny.
Yes. Yeah, it all comes back to Disney, folks. They own it does. Everything.
Well, he played Captain Hook in... that was a Peter Pan. Was it called Peter Pan? It was a cartoon in like the 90s or something, and he played Captain Hook. And he was just the best Captain Hook.
Dustin Hoffman begs to differ.
No, Dustin Hoffman can suck it. Tim Curry was the best Hook. Easily the best Hook.
Dustin Hoffman and Robin Williams beg to differ.
I didn't say he was the best Peter Pan. I said he was the best Captain
Hook. I understand that, but, you know, the no.
Yeah, he was great. And also he played, he had a role in Rescue Bots. I'm trying to remember the name of his villain character, but I want to say that was the last thing he did that I can remember him doing. Dr. Morocco, yeah. And in fact, he only did it for one season. And then I think he had a stroke.
The last thing he did was A Long Drive Home, which was a short in 2017. And then most recently, Rocky Horror Show Livestream Theater last year as Dr. Frankenfurter.
Really?
Before that, he was in Clone Wars from 2012 to 2014. I don't know. Clone Wars, from 2014.
Who did he play?
Darth Sidious, Chancellor Palpatine.
Really? Wow.
Uh-huh.
Funny. I got to go back and find the clip of that.
You know, you could just watch it on Disney Plus because all of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, is on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I don't know what episode, though. I mean, it'd be easier just to, like, Google Tim Curry Palpatine and see what pops up. But he's got such a distinctive voice. It's like, oh my god, that's Tim Curry, and you get all excited because I like to see him and stuff.
Exactly.
The Holy Grail reference. He chose.
Yeah, he chose poorly. Yeah.
He chose poorly, and his face melted off.
Yes. Yes, it did.
But in the end, it's all a movie. I mean, it was getting really weird in the sense that, the bad guy turned into a giant, ghost monster, and then aliens came, and then Phineas and Ferb helped the aliens, and then it blew up, and then there was a dinosaur.
And then come to find out it's their film, and they win the film festival. Season 6, Episode 2, is when he was in Clone Wars, so you can go to Disney Plus.
There we go.
Season 6, Episode 2, and he is the voice of Palpatine and... Palpatine / the Emperor.
So it all ends in it's a movie, and then they beat Doofenshmirtz, who was, I don't know, inexplicably turned himself 14.
Yeah.
Made the worst movie ever.
Yeah, I'm looking for this this Peter Pan thing, and I don't see. Yeah, no, you're.
Well, what's weird, my initial thought was, Jake and the Neverland Pirates, but I don't think
that was not the 90s.
That was not the 90s. I don't think that was Tim Curry either, but that was they had a really good Captain Hook. This one was I'm sure it was a Fox animated series, Peter Pan and the Pirates.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was actually he won a Daytime Emmy for that performance. Go. Yeah, and he was epic. I mean, just really good. Well,
come on, it's Tim Curry. I mean,
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's got to get down on his knees and tell us he loves us.
But it's weird now that I'm looking at this, there's pictures of Tim Curry dressed as a pirate. And I'm like, that's really interesting. Did he actually play Captain Hook?
No.
It's something that I'm not familiar with?
I don't think so.
don't know, man.
I don't know either. What are you going to give National Treasure Boot of Secrets?
The Boot of Secrets gets a 4 from me for Rocky Horror Reunions.
3.5 for me. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was interesting. I wish Tim Curry had more lines, and I wish he didn't, you know, get his head ripped off and have it revealed as Baljeet, and we got mind flipped again. But other than
mind flip. Yeah. But, you know, we have it banged over our heads here that, you know, Frankenfurter and Riff Raff were both in this episode.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. We are going to take a quick ad break, and we're going to come back to close the show after this.
Hi, I'm Terry Smith, the host of Music Talks, the podcast where I ask guests a simple but beguiling question. Choose a song from each decade of your life and tell me why these songs mean so much to you. Guests and listeners love this format, and if you want to find out why, then take a listen at musictalkspod.buzzsprout.com or use your favorite podcast app. Just search on Music Talks Terry Smith. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and talk to me until it ends over, then send me a tweet at musictalkspod. I look forward to doing some music talking soon.
Thank you for calling Fee Harmony, the service that matches you with the podcast that best fits your interests and needs.
I really hope you can help me because I have had no luck finding the perfect movie podcast that gives me everything that I want.
Well, that's my job. What are you looking for in a podcast?
Well, it needs to be a movie podcast that covers old and new stuff, one that reviews movies but also talks about movie news, discusses new trailers, and is willing just to have fun with some crazy movie games. Maybe even, you know, like the occasional top 10 countdown. Oh, and it's got to be a podcast that is willing at times to delve deep into the careers of notable directors and speak to all movie fans, from the general audience to the hardcore cinephile.
Wow, well, that's quite a resume you're looking for. What do you think you're regarding schedule? Monthly, weekly, daily?
Weekly, of course.
All right, well, let me crunch these numbers in our patented podcast matrix. Let's see what I can find for you. Wow, I don't believe it.
What is it?
We actually found the perfect match. This almost never happens.
Really? Well, dreams do come true. What is it?
It is the Cinema Geeks podcast, of course.
Well, that sounds perfect, but where can I hook up with such an awesome podcast?
Well, you can find it weekly on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastReader.com.
Awesome. Podcast marathon, here I come.
Another satisfied customer brought to you by P Harmony and the folks over at the Cinema Geeks podcast.
By the power of Grayskull, I command the Jawbridge. Open!
The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of all four Masters of the Universe cartoons. Join Optimus Solo and myself, TF2 and Mike, as we tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, Masters of Grayskull. We'll have a commentary on the Secret of the Sword film and a few other special episodes. You can find this 125-episode-long podcast in iTunes and on the web at geekcastradio.com. By the power and honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
Yeah, I hope I didn't miss anything exciting.
Dacian, the superhero webcomic. Dacian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, comedy, mayhem, and more, read it now at Dacian.com. Dacian.com.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes planes can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Yeah! Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Oh, blimey.
I had no idea there was such a wide variety of historical boot scrapers. Which one is it, Dad?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Only one of these can be the true Dorkum and Wesley. And no doubt a wrong choice will trigger a nasty booby trap. Boot scrapers were famously vengeful people.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. You got any final words for the best episode ever, Sipping with the Enemy, or any of the other less good episodes that we talked about today?
Less good episode?
I don't know.
I don't want to make anybody feel less than, but this episode
we just spent 20 minutes off air talking about Avengers movies. I mean, when you're talking about Avengers movies, everything else is less good.
I kind of feel that way, yeah. I also noticed that for whatever reason, Jessica Rabbit is trending now, so I got sidetracked. Sorry. Got a little lost down the rabbit hole on Twitter.
Of course you did.
The Jessica rabbit hole.
All right, you leave her rabbit hole alone. Thank you for joining us here on Palka. There's several ways to get in contact or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and any other episode that we do or any other article we ever put up on the website. Send it there. Shoot any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Put in the subject line Palka and whatever episode number you'd like to respond to. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course the home where our files exist, Spreaker. You can also use any other podcatching client you choose. However, I prefer you use one of these. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. I did not check. I'm pretty sure we don't have any. Follow us on, as of the recording of episode 79, I'm fairly certain we don't have any new reviews in iTunes for Palka. Follow us on Twitter. I am at TFGU and Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for all the network updates. What is your Twitter?
Pecan CT Michael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next batch of episodes from Phineas and Ferb Season 3, which include Doofapus, oh no, Norm Unleashed, yay Norm, When Worlds Collide, and then we'll be on the road to Danville. For now, I am TFGU and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
But wait, there's more.
Hello and welcome to episode 70. Oh, crap.
I think it's a 9.
Yes, it is. I didn't change
79, dude.
This is what happens when I end up sending you like 40 scripts at once and I don't change stuff that I'm supposed to change.
If you're really us, what number are we thinking of right now?
Which episode is this one?
79.
It's the one over there to your left, Ducky Momo. No, your other left. Oh, God. All right, that's two Ferb ups in a row. Edit Meanwhile, point. My cat, yeah, exactly. Edit point. Meanwhile, my cat Lacey over here is just like sitting in front of her bowl, like longingly staring at the floor. And I'm like, you get a full dinner 3.5 hours ago, cat. You're fine. God. Anyway. New drink. Let's try this again.
Did you ever see Tenacious D?
Hell no.
Tenacious. It was the pick of Destiny. It was Tenacious D and the pick of Destiny. And at the end, they have to fight Satan. And Satan actually sings. And one of the things he says is, I'm going to beat him like my Scarlet Pimpernel. And because he says, I can't wait to take Cade back to hell. I'm going to pump him full of my demon gel. I'm going to beat him like a Scarlet Pimpernel. And I'm like, I don't know what a Scarlet Pimpernel is. I mean, what is that? I thought it was like, you know, like a Zorro, you know, like an 18 or like a, what are they, like a Victorian era superhero type of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm still not entirely sure what he was. And but I don't think he got beaten. I'm not sure where that came from. It like rhymed with gel.
Yes. Drusel Steenoween is in season 4, and that's the last time I remember Vanessa and Monty together.
Drusel Steenoween, what's that?
Drusel Steenoween is an episode coming up in season 4.
Okay.
Where they dress up as she's the vampire queen and he's the pumpernel.
Oh.
For her and him to, yeah, anyway.
Eat him like a scarlet pimpernel.
There's not really any more. That's about it. Oh, hello, Perry the Platypus. Well, as they say in the film business, it's a wrap. Get it? Because you're wrapped in film.